One word in the original Greek, I thirst, is the shortest of the sayings. I take it as a subtle hint for me to keep my remarks short, as I have a tendency to be long-winded. In the last couple of years, I've actually gone over my allotted time. Give him the short one. Maybe he'll shut up and sit down. The trouble is, there was so much information out there, and the ideas that I wanted to talk about were so cool, and they were so vast. The concern in my heart was, man, all these good people are going to come out here. They're going to expect you to wow them and to go home with something of value. You can imagine my relief when I realized that no good people were going to show up. Instead, I have you to speak to. So I can pretty much say whatever I want at this point. It's all downhill. Did you know that 60% of your body is water? Yeah, it's like the most common mineral on the planet except for salt. 80% of your blood is water. A human being under extreme duress can sweat 5 liters of water in 1 hour. That's without any exercise. Think of that 2-liter bottle of Coke that you sucked down earlier today and times it by 2.5. Man, that's a lot of sweat. That's a lot of perspiration. That's just a fun fact to know and tell. That one's free. Some of the symptoms of severe dehydration are rapid breathing, rapid heartbeat, low blood pressure, white skin, swelling of the tongue, delirium, impaired cognitive abilities. And I'm thinking about this, and how long for you has it been between the longest period that you've ever had between two drinks, a drink of water? Has it been hours? Have you gone hours between drinks? Maybe a day? Maybe you fasted from beverages for a day or something like that? Maybe you were like an athlete, or you were the wrestler in school and you had to wear the track suit and spit in the bottle to cut weight because you had to get rid of all that moisture and you were just so thirsty. Maybe you had something that was too salty and you couldn't get to a refreshing drink and you just felt that in your throat. Was it hard to swallow? Was there thick, viscous sludge you used to call spit accruing at the back of your throat? Are you thinking about it now? Isn't it hard to swallow? You see, you have something called the autonomic nervous system. It makes you swallow, and you don't have to tell it to happen. This happens about every minute of your life. 2,000 times a day, you're going to swallow. And it's that same fluid, that body fluid that I'm talking about now, we call it saliva, and we don't really, at church, we don't meditate on spit very often. I wanted to give you that opportunity tonight. I'm hoping that I'm telling you this, and you're asking, why am I telling you this? And the reason is simple. I just want you to be very miserable. But don't worry, you'll forget all about it before I'm done talking. Your brain will kick in, your swallowing will be normal, the life will come back, and everything that is common will return to you, and what is common, of course, is forgettable. This isn't in my notes, but I'm thinking about this. We talk about the cross a lot, and sometimes I'm afraid that it becomes very common. It loses its sting. It loses its shock. It loses what they must have been experiencing there, seeing the man being tortured and being... We're so far removed from that, I almost wish that we didn't talk about it as much. I wish we just whispered about it. that it would be like a secret thing that we only talked about behind closed doors, because it's lost its tang. Thirst. It is the body's need for hydration to be replenished with water. We have each one of us experienced this. It is part of the human condition. And I want you to recall, Dino mentioned it briefly, that time when Jesus was in the wilderness fasting. The Holy Spirit, right after baptism, called him into the wilderness, said, go on out there. Jesus obeyed, as he always did. He didn't know if it was going to be 40 days or 100, or he didn't have a definite time set. He was just out there fasting, waiting for God to do something. Thirst was almost certainly a part of this time of his self-denial. The Bible doesn't say if he had a source of drinking water. It just says he was fasting for these 40 days. We don't know. The point was, Jesus had put himself in a place where he couldn't help himself. You know, he put himself out there in the wilderness where God told him to be, and then he was just waiting for God to do something. It was a total pouring out of self. It was a total trusting the Father. It was a total experience of self-abandonment, and he would have gone on doing it and doing it and doing it. He might have died out there for all he knew or cared, but God sent his holy angels to aid and minister to him and bring him, I think, maybe something to eat, something to drink, and nurse him back to health, and then bring him back. Because as soon as he comes back, he starts his preaching ministry, calls some disciples, gets the ball rolling, finds his way to the cross. Now, Jesus could say with perfect sincerity and absolute authority things like, hey, don't worry about what you're going to eat and drink. Don't care about your body. God's going to take care of you. Not a hint of irony in his voice. He could say things like, hey, I haven't come to seek my own. If I did, then you couldn't trust me. But I've done everything that the Father has shown me. That's why you know that my testimony is true. The wilderness, the 40 days, lets him do it first, and then lead others into his family. He first demonstrates, and then he invites. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't tell people to do anything that he hasn't already done. Hey, let's look at some other gods real quick. You know, they don't do self-restraint. You know, they don't do self-control. They don't do suffering. You know, the Buddha, he's like, hey, followers of mine, don't do worldly excesses, and maybe you shouldn't have too much. And he's like 600 pounds. Come on, man. Hypocrite. Have you seen this guy? He's like this big. I mean, he's bald-headed, but, you know. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, there are worse things. What about the pagan gods? Jesus was around in the time of the Greco-Roman Empire. They had pagan gods. There's gods like Zeus. If you read these stories, there was not like a maiden that he wasn't trying to seduce. And that rhymes, and it's funny to me. Zeus loved to seduce. That's how I remembered him. You know, I was a little thing in my brain. He would show up like a cow one time and get this girl, and then he would like be like a goose this time, and he's a rascal. That's not self-denial. And if you want to go to Zeus heaven, you got to just hope that you're like the right god intercedes for you at the right time, because you might like make this god happy, but then this god's real mad about it, and you're going down, brother. So what about like people who have really strict laws, like the strict Jews who adhere to strict laws, or the strict Islamic people that adhere to strict laws. And isn't it possible that you can like do every one of those laws exactly the way that was written and actually do what they say to the very jot and tittle? And your heart is like still really wicked, because outward stuff that's like religious out here doesn't actually take away your inward. You're full of like dead men's bones. You're like a corpse inside because you're rotten and putrid. That's what Paul teaches us. yeah, go ahead and do that law if you want. It's not going to save you from your sin because that lives in here, and the law killeth, the Spirit gives life. He says without a whiff of irony, don't care about the things of your body because the Lord clothes the fields with leaves and flowers, and he even gives the birds a place to live and something to eat, and he'll take care of you. The abandonment of his self and of his own priorities, his own dreams for his life, his own kingdom for the earth, his own ability to command fire to come down from heaven and to tell demons to get out, and all of these healings, and he can do these things, and he can make universes in his pocket. Those are the things that he abandons to follow the will of the Father. Perfect submission. And we've never seen that. And I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of people didn't believe in him. It was just too good to be true. They just said, that can't be what this really is. He's always on. He's always doing the will of the Father. He's always talking about it. He was at the edge of death and the angels come. That's a recurring theme. Right before they come to arrest him, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's asked his friends to stay awake, do some praying. I'm going to go over here, not very far away, a lot closer than the people in the back row from me, probably. Stay awake, say some prayers. He goes, he kneels, and he's pouring his heart out to God. He is sweating blood. It was a cold night. You know how I know that? Because Peter had to warm himself up to the fire when he was saying, I don't know that guy. Must have been cold. How's he sweating? Man, he was in such dire, his soul was just so confused or tormented or inflamed. We call it the passion for a reason. And it made his blood come out of his skin like sweat. Was it 5 liters? I don't know. But I can tell you that he hadn't had a drink since dinner. He sweated the blood. They beat him. They bled him. They mocked him. They scourged him. And it was a long time from dinner to the cross. Some people think more than 24 hours. He's thirsty, man. When they finally get him up there on that thing, he is still bleeding. There is liquid filling up his chest cavity because his blood is becoming that 80% of that water that I was talking about. It's going into plasma now, and the red blood cells are actually coming apart because that's what happens when you lose a lot of blood, and it's like an exsanguinating experience. So all of his fluid is going onto his heart, and it's out of his blood, and he is thirsty. His tongue is twice the size. It can hardly fit in his mouth. He probably has to stick it out a little bit just to keep it from choking him. And that just makes it drier. He's pouring himself out in that garden, and God sends those angels again. They give him aid. They revive him. They tell him, the Father is with you. You can do this thing. Yes, yes, grief can last through the night, but joy can come in the morning. They're giving him the spiritual resources that he needs to just hold on, just to cling to life for a little bit longer, just to do the Father's will one more time. And here they are. And here we are at the cross, and here he is thirsting. Where are those angels? Nowhere to be seen. Instead, mockers. You, get down off of there, you physician. Come on down, guy who's the king of the Jews. You're so great. Heal yourself, Messiah. Messiah. with a swollen tongue, he coughs out the words, "I thirst." They give him something to drink. Two times before, they tried to give him something to drink, and he won't take it. But now he knows that in order to accomplish all things, that all the prophecies that were written that were concerning his death might be fulfilled, now he must drink the gall of his enemies. They offer it to him, and it must be so refreshing. Even that little bit of wet moisture on the end of that sponge, that little act of grace, that little bit of encouragement from the Father. And the time when the Son needs him most and the angels don't show up, but the little sop of wine and gall tells him, God is with you. Just hold on a little bit longer. Just do the will of the Father this one last time. And come to your reward. Now, Jesus was willing to go all the way to the cross to prove one thing. And if this is in your heart, you might just know him. I am not self-sufficient. I am entirely dependent upon the Father. And because he was fully dependent on the Father, we can be fully dependent on him. Amen? Because there is one mediator between God and man, and perfect obedience is what throws open the gates of heaven and lets me in. Amen. And I'm afraid that perfect obedience will lead me to a cross. Jesus says that, doesn't he? Anyone who wants to be my disciple must take up his cross, deny himself, and follow after me.
Thank you for listening. For more information, visit us at nwcc777.com.